I wanna get locked up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my on the only podcast that I'll hear. Rip off my ears. Oh, the rock show, 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 the rock show. Oh, I want the rock show.
Hello, people. Welcome to episode 2 of what we call this 10 albums you must hear before you die. And this is part 2, and we got another great 5 albums to complete the month of July, right?
Yeah. This is July's rock shows with part 1 and part 2 of 10 albums you must hear before you die. We had a good episode last time, and we're going to have a good episode here. I've got 5 more. We're going to start with a band that I cannot emphasize enough as one of the greatest bands in the last 30 years, and that's the Helicopters, okay? Originally from Sweden, all right? They're kind of like the greatest band maybe you never heard of, all right? This record that we're going to talk about is called Paying the Dues. Came out in September of 1997. It was on White Jazz Records originally. It's 28 minutes and 51 seconds of the purest rock and roll you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Stripped down, reminiscent of Detroit rock and roll, reminiscent of Kiss, 74 Kiss. You know, it's to me, it's their masterpiece. They have quite a few albums and they're all good. There isn't a bad album from the Helicopters. They just got back together. We did do a show on that whole band and their history last year. But this particular record, Paying the Dues, is, to me, their masterpiece and one that everybody should hear before they die. It was the second album released by the band. Their last featuring their guitarist, Dregan. This was a very cool era for the band. They had a guitarist named Dregan, who was originally in a band called the Backyard Babies. And he left that band to work with the Helicopters a little bit. And it really paid off because he made this amazing record that came out that year in 97. It would be re-released 2 years later on Sub Pop. Sub Pop would put it out. There's a vinyl version of the record that contains their version of City Slang by the Sonic Rendezvous Band. Sonic Rendezvous Band were an amazing band from Detroit that was started by Fred Sonic Smith from the MC5 a few years after the MC5 broke up. He started this band. They're one of these bands that should have been huge, but weren't. Okay. Now, the Helicopters, maybe you haven't heard of them in America, but they were very big in Europe, playing to large audiences. This particular record was produced by the Helicopters themselves, also with Andrew Schitt, is his last name, S-H-I-T, like it sounds. He was also known as Boba Fett, and he was like the keyboard player in the band. Also, Thomas Skogsberg has a producing credit on this record, Paying the Dues as well. It's 10 tracks, starting with You Are Nothing, goes into Like No Other Man, Looking at Me, Riot on the Rocks, song called Hey, then Soul Cellar, Where the Action Is, Twist Action, Collapso Nervioso, and Psyched Out and Furious, which to me is one of the best closing tracks you'll ever hear on an album. It just totally caps it off on such a great record. The record reminds me of just like a freight train, okay? It just starts hard, ends hard. and keeps going the whole way.
Yeah, it's like one of those weird albums that got a good beginning, a good middle, and then a good ending.
It's not a bad song.
28 minutes long, which is amazing. It's like almost like listening to like a Ramones album.
Exactly. I think the Ramones had some longer albums than that, believe it or not. Yeah. You know, it's just 28 minutes and 51 seconds of like a sonic blast. And everybody should check this out. I can't emphasize the helicopters enough.
I just want to bring something up. They had like a purple copy of the vinyl, and they only released like 2,500.
Yeah, the helicopters were very cool like that. They helped the record collector community with these little extra things. You know, their albums were often released and then re-released with additional tracks or different outtakes. City Slang, like I said, was a single that they did, the cover of the Sonic Rendezvous Band song, and they ended up putting it out on the album, paying the dues on a different release. So, you know, they're known for that. They're very cool with their fans. They're back together. Okay. You should check them out. I think Sammy Yaffa from Hanoi Rocks is playing with them now. So it's always cool when Sammy's involved with anything. He's a talent.
All right.
So that's the first one for today. Next. Yes. Great album cover. That is Mink DeVille's Cabretta is the next album we're going to talk about. Who is Mink DeVille? Well, Willie DeVille, who you're looking at right there, was the main lead singer, guitarist, songwriter of the band, originally from Connecticut. They played they got known because of the CBGB scene in the mid-70s. They became almost a house band. They played there so much. Also, they played Max's Kansas City and other places. They're a band that I can't emphasize enough. There you go. There's the back. Tracks Venus of Avenue D, Little Girl, which was originally done by the Crystals, the Phil Spector-produced song, One Way Street, Mixed Up, Shook Up Girl, Gunslinger, Can't Do Without It, Cadillac Walk, Spanish Stroll, which was the single off it that did okay, She's So Tough, and Party Girls. Now, this album got as high as number 186 on Billboard when it came out in 1977. But it was really kind of underpromoted and disappeared pretty quickly off the scene. It was produced by Jack Nitzsche. Okay, I mentioned Phil Spector before. Jack Nitzsche and Phil Spector were partners, and Willie DeVille was, you know, heavily influenced by 60s music, particularly the Phil Spector stuff. I'll go as so far to say that, you know, Willie DeVille is one of these guys that, like Bruce Springsteen, wishes he was. Okay. Yeah. Little Steven's Underground Garage channel on Sirius channel 21 is a good place to listen for Mink DeVille. Okay, he's really the only guy that still plays stuff off this album and other albums. Jack Nitzsche worked with Mink DeVille on his solo efforts later on when he just went by Willie DeVille, by that name. Yeah. But the album gets its name, if you're curious, from a type of leather jacket that was worn by Bed Edmonds of Capitol Records, who he was signed to. They released the album. So it was just like a Cabretta was like a soft leather, but also tough. And that's kind of the way this record is. Okay.
And you know what? The album wasn't long. It was about 36 minutes, 35 to 36 minutes long. That's all you need. It plays the song. You can listen multiple times. And it's fun, you know. It's like a fun album if you really want to talk about it.
And so it has all the roots elements that you like, the hooks. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's catchy. You know, 3 minute songs. Every one of them could be a single.
Yeah,
you know, they're all that good. He went on to make some other good records with Mink DeVille and later on his own. I believe this is my favorite, but I do listen to some of the others. If you're going to get into Mink DeVille, and I think you should, this is a great place to start, their first record. And it's definitely one of the, you know, 10 albums you should hear before you die.
Yeah, another great one.
Yeah. Okay, moving on right away. Number three, this is an important record. X-Ray Specs was the band, and the album is called Germ Free Adolescence. We're going to talk about this record a little bit here. It came out on in 1978 in November on EMI Records. Okay. I love this record. It's everything that was great about British punk, but it's also a unique kind of record. Okay. They were a very unique band, different from the Sex Pistols, different from the Clash, different from a lot of the other bands that came out of that scene. Right away, just in personnel, you had polystyrene on vocals. Okay, you didn't have too many female lead singers. You had the Slits. They were an all-girl band. But there's something about X-Ray Specs and their sound that I always felt they were really up there in superior in a lot of the British punk bands. Polly wrote a lot of the lyrics, mostly I would say all the lyrics. She was a very trailblazing kind of person. First of all, she was half black, half white, which was unique for the time. Okay. So you had this mulatto girl that, you know, and being a female was a big deal. Okay. There weren't really any female punk bands at the time. Like I said, you had the Slits, but you know, the Slits are more reggae and they're more a little abrasive in their sound, not to put them down in any way, but they're a little bit different. Okay. The X-Ray Specs, you had Jack Airport on guitar, Paul Dean on bass, Rudy Thompson on sax, and you had BP Herding on drums, all backing up Polly. And, great musicians. And she had these lyrics that would emphasize on criticizing mass commercialism. They weren't quite political like The Clash was. I wouldn't really call them a political punk band like The Clash. But they definitely touched on topics that weren't being talked about. Talked about kind of having an identity of your own and not buying into mass commercialism and basically being an individual. Okay. They had a saxophone player in the band as well. And that just gave them this very unique sound that nobody was really using a sax. Everything was more stripped down. They were a little more, I'm going to say, polished in a way, but in a good way, not in a sellout kind of way.
It was a very catchy album, you know, another show album, 35, about 36 minutes long to 35, and it packs a punch, and you know that you don't have to do a 3-hour album or whatever, like some people like to do, you know?
Yeah, no, it wasn't a Trout Mask replica, you know, like we talked about in the last one. Short and sweet, in the genre. Of course, punk bands were like that, okay, mostly. Yeah. The album was produced by Falcon Stewart, who was a name on the scene back then too. So they had good, you know, it was a good quality produced album. I think it kind of got their sound down. It's really the only album that they would release in the 70s. They would reunite in the 90s and make another album that really, to me, was not up to par, but you know, at least they were back. I got to see them. Sadly, Polly has passed away, I guess about 10 years ago or so, maybe more. She had a hard life, okay? She, was in and out of mental homes and eventually mental facilities and eventually got her life back. There's a great documentary out there about her life, Polystyrene. You should check it out. Came out a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago, and her daughter was instrumental in it. Very interesting documentary. The tracks starts with Artificial. then Obsessed With You, yep. Warrior in Woolworths, Let's Submerge, I Can't Do Anything, Identity, Genetic Engineering, I Live Off You, I Am a Poser, Germ-Free Adolescence, the title track, Plastic Bag, and then The Day the World Turned, Day Glow. This album's been released, re-released several times over the years on different color vinyl, and you know, you can get it like that. It's, you know, it's a very unique, put the album cover up for a second. Yeah, look at that. They're in test tubes. Okay, which is like kind of cool. Okay, it kind of was in exactly what they were trying to say on this record, like test tube babies or something. You know what I mean? They're a very cool band, very unique in so many ways, and I think you should get this record, Germ Free Adolescence.
Wow, another good one.
Yeah. So moving right along quickly here, we're going to spend a little time talk about this next record. The Chesterfield Kings, Let's Go Get Stoned. Wow. Okay. Came out in 1994. Now, I cannot emphasize this band enough. Okay. Greg Prevost, the lead singer and main songwriter for the band, and really the only original member that existed during their whole existence, was nice enough to come on our show. He has a book that came out last year, Greg Prevost. Yeah. He was very nice to explain, you know, how the band was and the book. And, you know, I owe him a lot for that. I appreciate Greg. He's a very good guy, very talented. Now, you know, if you never heard of the Chesterfield Kings, I think you should start with this record. Okay. It's not their first album. Okay. It's kind of an ode to the Stones Aftermath album in a way. Okay. In fact, that cover is very similar to the Stones Aftermath album cover. Okay. But it's not a ripoff or a derivative of the Rolling Stones, though the Chesterfield Kings throughout their whole existence, you could hear the mid-60s, late-60s Stones influences in their band. But, you know, particular on this album, they do a version of Street Fighting Man, which is not on Aftermath. Okay, by the Stones. It's on Beggar's Banquet, but the influences are there. And they always had a nice twist on whatever they did. You know, it just like tracks like Johnny Volume is a tribute to Johnny Thunders on the album. You have Street Fighting Man, Drunk House, It's Getting Harder All the Time, I'd Rather Be Dead, Can't Believe It, Rock and Roll Murder, Sing Me Back Home. Okay, the country song, they do a great version of it. Long Ago and Far Away, I'm Not Talking, One Foot in the Graveyard, Worried Life Blues, I'm So Confused Baby, and Cannonballs for Christmas. Now, you know, a little background is they're from Rochester, New York originally. And really, Greg is like a 60s garage rock expert. He'll say this is one of his favorite albums, if not his favorite. All right. So I think everybody should listen to this record. Cannonballs for Christmas. Okay. It's reminiscent of what the Cosmic Christmas was and some of the stuff on Satanic Majesty's Request.
Yeah.
They were doing an ode to that with that. Drunk House is kind of similar to Country Honk. All right, by the Rolling Stones on Let It Bleed. Okay. I'd Rather Be Dead has a little bit of a guitar riff like Gimme Shelter. But, you know, even though you're hearing the Stones in their music, they are not Stones cover bands. They're not Stones ripoff bands. They just use the Stones as a kind of a jumping off point and put their twist on it. It's just good stuff. They went on to make a few more albums. They had a little fame in the early 2000s when they was teamed up with Little Richard's Wicked Cool Records label. By 2009 or so, 2011, the band was no more. Greg has gone on to a lot of great things. He has a couple of solo albums. He just released one recently. And if you go back and you look at some shows we did, some shows back, like the end of last year, I believe we had him on. But Let's Go Get Stoned. I think that's an album that you should listen to before you die.
Definitely a good album. Another listen to, another quick album. All this stuff is pretty good stuff that you can listen to.
Yeah, you don't need to put in a lot of effort. Okay, no. It's not a con. You know, I mean, stuff we talked about in the last show. We talked about Trout Mask Replica. You know, that's something that you should hear, but you're going to have to put a little effort into it.
Yeah,
this is just a great rock and roll record by every definition of the term rock and roll. All right, so the last one we have is P.P. Arnold's The First Lady of Immediate. And I'd like to spend a little time talking about P.P. Arnold. Her name is Patricia Arnold. Maybe you never heard of her. Well, that's very possible. She really made her fame in the U.K., though she's an American. She was born in the Watts section of Los Angeles. And she has a great story that intertwines with so many famous people in the 1960s and 70s. She was from Watts, and on a lark, really, she decided to try out for the Ikettes. Okay. Ike and Tina Turner's backup singers back in the mid 60s. And, she didn't think she was going to make it, but she auditioned and she got in and she became an Ikette. And she had a tough life. Okay. She had a child as a teenager. She was married at a young age to a guy, I believe his name was David Arnold, if I remember right. She, just in case you want to know more what I'm talking about, she wrote a book called Soul Survivor that came out last year, and she's been out kind of promoting this book and doing live shows in England. I hope she comes here. She isn't very well known here, but I think she could play New York and stuff like that. I'm kind of hoping she does. But she was an Ikette, and she, you know the stories of Ike Turner. According to her book, Ike raped her. Okay, according to her book, I believe it. And you know, she left the group. Okay, at the urging of Mick Jagger, who befriended her. Mick and the Stones were on tour with Ike and Tina in the mid 60s, around 66 or so. They did several tours with them over the years. And he suggested to her that she break out solo and sign up to Immediate Records, which was their manager, Andrew Lug Oldham's brand new label. Immediate Records is a great label. And I love everything that they put out. They were only around for a couple of years. Yeah, this is an extended version. I believe this is her first two albums in one. I think you got right there, Rob. That's okay. She did release two records for Immediate. She's most known for the track "The First Cut Is the Deepest." She was a soul singer, but a beautiful voice, as good as anybody that was making this kind of music, as good as Tina Turner, as good as, you know, anybody making soul music, female artist at the time. Her voice is fantastic. It's beautiful. It's moving. When she was urged to leave Ike and Tina and join Immediate, Mick had promised her that he would oversee any recordings that she did, produce an album for her, all that stuff, or be involved with the production. They were involved romantically too. Okay. That's all in her book called Soul Survivor. Also, another group that was on the Immediate label was the Small Faces, Steve Marriott's band. And if you're a Small Faces fan, you'll remember P.P. Arnold is the backup singer, duetting really, with Steve Marriott on the song Tin Soldier. Okay, which there's a great video for. It's just a live video of them on a soundstage. And, you know, Marriott was a hugely talented guy. He would go on to, after the Small Faces, he would go on to make Humble Pie and all that, and, you know, a great solo career. He contributed for the First Lady of Immediate album. He contributed a song called If You Think You're Groovy, which is one of her best tracks. The First Cut Is the Deepest was originally by Cat Stevens. He would record it much later on, but she would have a hit in England with that. Okay. You know, there was also a track called Born to Be Together, which was very reminiscent of a Phil Spector type song. And just to mention too, is, since we're talking about Spector for a second, is the track River Deep, Mountain High that Tina Turner did for Phil Spector.
Yeah.
P.P. Arnold was an Ikeette at the time, and she's on that record. She's back on that record. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, Immediate Records had a lot of distribution problems. I think it really wasn't run well as a label, and it would fold up by 1970. But her backing band at the time was a band called The Nice, which featured Keith Emerson of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, who would be later on in that. They would go on to bigger and better things. She would come back to the States and do some acting on in theater, and eventually go back to England and record more. She had a very interesting life. She recorded some tracks for Barry Gibb. Okay, Barry Gibb wrote for her. Our good friend Roxanne Fontana in the UK is friends with P.P. Arnold.
Oh, maybe we can get her on the show.
Well, we've talked. We've talked. That's a possibility. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but I would love to interview P.P. Arnold about this record, The First Lady of Immediate, which to me is a beautiful record. The sound of the production of it, her voice is incredible. It's all part of a time that's kind of lost, you know, like in the 60s, you had these, like, you could call them pop records or whatever you want, but they were really, you know, that's when rock and roll and pop was all intertwined with each other. You had the soul sound that she had, it was all intertwined. I really think you should listen to this record all the way through. The First Cut Is the Deepest is an amazing song. Give it a shot. I think it's really worth it. One of the albums you should hear before you die.
Hey, you know what? She also got her website, ppiano.com. So they got the biography, all the stuff there. And they got, like, her latest album. And if you, I think if you buy the CD off her website, I think you get an autographed copy automatically.
She's very cool with her fans.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want, read the book. I mean, it was fantastic. Soul Survivor, great story.
Sounds good, man. Another great show, man. Five more albums, 10 albums completed. And you know what? I didn't hear about her until you put the list. I said, who the hell is this? And, you know, I heard one or two of the songs, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times.
Very unique. Very unique singer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, whoa. It almost reminded me of Laura Croft, you know, like from the... what the hell is the name of the band? I forget the name of the band. But she always, she got that soulful voice, you know, like Erykah Badu, all those people like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, she didn't join Ike and Tina Turner for no reason. She had the chops. She could sing. Okay. And a beautiful woman also. Very, very attractive woman. And just, you know, I wish she was a little bit bigger in America. She deserves it. I hope she can come here. And maybe finally, you know, plant her flag a little bit here, but this record, First Lady of Immediate, that's where you got to start with her. And, check her stuff out and check out everything on Immediate Records. I mean, the Small Faces were on there. The Nice, if you're interested, Jimmy Page was a sessions musician. So if you get any kind of compilation of Immediate Records, and there's quite a few out there, you're hearing Paige on guitar in the studio.
Wow.
Okay. Also John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin too.
Wow.
That's what they did before they were even playing in that band. And it was even before Jimmy Page was in the Yardbirds. Okay.
He was making some kind of money just doing that, right?
He was, he was, you know, if you remember with the Yardbirds history, is he was asked to join the Yardbirds after Clapton left.
Yeah.
And then he said, no, I'm doing good as a session guy. Here's Jeff Beck. Here's my friend Jeff Beck. And
yeah.
Then eventually he would join. You'd have Beck and Page together for a couple of months, and then Beck would leave. And you'd have Page in the final incarnation of the band, which would morph into Zeppelin. So, yeah, I mean, it's Immediate Records is one of these labels that they weren't around for a long time, but they put out some very incredible, influential music, including the Arnold's record.
Yes, they did.
All right.
All right, Mike. So how can people reach you?
Okay. If you're looking for me on social media, on Facebook, I'm under Rocco Mike. If you want me on the group page, the Rock Show group page with me and Rob, you can look on the Facebook for that, the Rock Show podcast group page. I'm Rocker Mike on Instagram and Twitter, Rocker Mike 212, excuse me, on both of those. I'm Rocker Mike on CloudHub, MeWe, True Social, Getter, all that stuff. Paula's doesn't exist anymore, right?
No, hey, you want to hear something crazy? The Rock page is getting bigger and bigger. We got like new people every day.
Yep. I try to invite people as my Facebook page grows, which grows a lot because of the other podcasts we do.
So
I try to invite everybody over. Most people are very cool. They join up, they contribute. We got quite a few people that post. It's not just us. That page has done very well for the last few years.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when I look how many people we have. I'm like, wow. And you know what? It's pretty good. The people that we get, they just stick to music. We never talk about anything else but music on that page.
No, we don't get into some of the nonsense we deal with on other shows. But yeah. Where can we find you, Rob?
You can find me on Getting Lumped Up on pretty much any platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also got the web page. So if you want to find me, we got our own
gettinglumpedup.com.
So gettinglumpedup.com, you can look there. You can find the links to all the shows on there too, you know.
You got a little merch on there still?
Huh?
Is there still a little merch on there?
Yeah, they still got the merch, the two t-shirts shop that we have. And this and that. I got to start doing more with those t-shirts because I got to see if I can move a few of those too, because they were selling. When I was putting them up, I haven't put them up that much, so I got to start doing that again.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, because there's probably like 16 shirts on there.
Wow.
From Stupidity is the New Disease is like the number one selling shirt.
It's true.
And the Murder Bar is number two.
The Murder Bar. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Wow. All right, man. So, people, thank you for listening, watching, and we'll see you real soon. Remember, we don't get drunk.
We get lumped up.
I want to get lumped up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my. The only podcast that I'll hear that won't make me wanna rip off my